and just what our glorified bodies are going to be like. Boy, see there? But we went through and looked at the examples of our risen Lord. Because if you'll remember back in the book of Romans, we're told we will be like Christ. It's an amazing thing. We looked at the example of Christ traveling, the men traveling on the road, and Christ meeting them. We looked at some of the examples of what he was like in that immortal, glorified state. And we came through, if you'll remember, we had 15 characteristics. We got through 8 of them last week. I have Kevin put those up. You can see what they were. We found out that our bodies will be incorruptible. They won't decay anymore. They won't grow older. Your hair won't fall out. They will be glorified. You will be exalted, lifted up on high. Your name will be praised, just as Christ is. Also found out we will have power, great power. And it will not be a mortal body any longer. It will be an immortal body. We will no longer be subject to death. Oh, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? Also, if you remember the example that we went through, the men on the road didn't recognize Christ at first. Said that he closed their minds. We will have this power as well. And we looked at the examples of Christ eating, drinking, talking, fellowshipping. We will be able to do that. We won't just take a bite of something and have it fall out on the ground. We will eat, drink, talk. And we also saw that we will be able to appear and disappear at will. And number 8, we will be able to teach in an incredible way. We'll be able to reach people where they're at and elevate them to where they need to be. That's an incredible, incredible thing. So let's pick back up this morning. Over in Luke chapter 24. And verse 36. It says, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace to you. So, here he again appears suddenly, out of nowhere. Poof, and there he is. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Pick up in verse 37, he says, but they were startled and frightened and thought that as they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? He says, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. He was showing them. He said, look at my hands. Look. Feel that. There's where they put the nails. I'm not some ghost. Look. And in verse 40. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I have spoken to you while I was with you, and all these things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So, as we're reading this here, we get a few more of the characteristics. Characteristic number 9. You will be recognized by others. Maybe even with all the scars, birthmarks, moles, whatever. Christ was recognized like that, wasn't he? Sure he was. He showed them his hands and his feet. We will be recognized by others. People will be able to touch us, to feel us. We're not going to be some smoky ghost. And the 10th one, I think this is probably the most incredible power that we will have. We will have the power to open the minds of others to understand the scriptures. How incredible is that? How many would like to have that power right now? I know I sure would. When you're telling somebody about the kingdom and they're looking at you like you're talking in Chinese. Has anybody ever had that, or is that just me? We will be able to open their minds. Open their minds to the understanding. Their minds will no longer be closed. You know, we spoke about that some yesterday in the morning class at the Thrive Conference. Just what that will be like. You know, people, as soon as you start telling them about the kingdom, many will just shut you off just like that. Close their minds. We will have the power to break that barrier down so that they'll see the scriptures the way that you and I see them and so often take for granted. That they'll be able to see the scriptures jump out off of the pages into their minds and into their hearts. What an incredible power that will be. Incredible. Because you know how many people are really seeking the truth of God's Word? How many? Most want to sit, watch the TV, maybe hear some preacher on TV tell how if you're good little girls and boys, everything's going to be okay. You know, it was interesting. Yesterday evening, I had a chance to talk with Dan Gill. I think Jim and Norman, incredible man. He came from a United Pentecostal or a Oneness Pentecostal background. And just to see the way that God worked in his life. He was very faithful. His wife was very faithful. They both grew up in the same faith. They were in Bible study. And they started listening and studying and reading along with the Bible study teacher. And they were saying, "Wait a minute. This doesn't say this. This doesn't say what this man is telling me. And Dan said it crushed him. That he had believed for so long. And that wasn't what the Bible said. So he and his wife, they came together. And they prayed. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. They said, Father, show me the truth of your word. Whatever it may be, show me. I want to know the truth of your word. So they began studying. And they studied clear through the Bible. And Dan was one of the teachers in the class at the Thrive Conference yesterday. Praise God. He asked, and he received. Praise God for that. We will have the power to open our neighbor, our parents, our cousins, the man down the street, to open their minds to the truth of God's word. Incredible thing. Let's pick back up in verse 49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. After worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. So here is another characteristic. Christ ascended and descended to heaven in record speed, didn't he? Took just a thought. Have you ever thought about that? That perhaps in our immortal and glorified state, that we could see this universe with just a thought. If you wanted to be in sunny Hawaii right now, you think about it and you're there. Have you ever thought about that? Christ could do that. It says right here in Luke that he could. We will be just like him. Amazing. Let's go over to the book of John. John chapter 20. In verse 26. Again, this is after Christ had been resurrected and glorified. It says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. So here the door had been shut and locked, and Christ is standing in, right in the middle of them. And he says, in verse 27, he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas is saying, Father, You have shown me your Son. He's not calling Jesus God here. He's praising God for showing him the Messiah who had been right before his eyes for so long. But he doubted. But God showed him who this Jesus really and truly was. And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Incredible. So once again we see, we will have the power to perform signs and miracles. Incredible things. We'll do this for the good of people, will we not? You know, I want to share a story with you this morning. This story had an incredible impact on my life personally. It was a story that a pastor in Fort Myers, Florida, told us one morning. The story's true. He talked about a man who's a very, very faithful church member. He was a member of the church, but his wife was not. And he would visit him from time to time at his place of work. I think he worked at the... I can't remember where he said that he worked. But he would visit with him. This man was very, very faithful. They became very good friends. This man was in his 40s. And one morning, during a church service, he collapsed. They called the ambulance. They loaded him up. And the pastor came and rode to the hospital. They'd called his wife, and she met him there at the hospital. What had happened is this man had had a massive, massive stroke. And that blood clot had gotten stuck in the junction box of his nerves. And the doctor came out and said, "Well, there's this experimental drug. We think it will take this massive clot and break it up into lots of little clots. We're not sure what it'll do. But if he doesn't have it, he will die." So he was basically a dead man laying on this table. And as he told the story, he talked to his wife, and the wife of the man, she said, "What should I do? What should I do?" Well, the pastor told her his belief in about the resurrection. And she, after they prayed, decided to have the drug administered. Well, the drug did what they thought it would do. It broke this big clot up into lots of little clots. But you see, these little clots, they scattered all over his brain. He became what they knew as in a locked-in state. Meaning his mind was perfect, as yours and mine. His arms didn't work. His legs didn't work. He couldn't move. The only thing that moved were his eyelids. And he had to go through months of physical therapy just for that to happen. The only thing that he could do, the only responses he could have, was blink once for yes and twice for no. And you see, he could still feel pain. He told of a story of once his arm had fallen out of bed onto the radiator. The nurses didn't come until they smelled the flesh burning. You could still experience that pain. But he couldn't shout out. Couldn't cry out. Couldn't lift a finger. He suffered every year from pneumonia, from laying on his back. Terrible, painful bed sores. Couldn't even say, "Help me." He could blink once for yes, twice for no. But through all this, his pastor visited him a great deal. And he learned how to communicate with him. And it became obvious that he still wanted to be an intimate part of the church. He was in this locked-in state for 9 years before he died. 9 long years. And as he was progressing downhill, pastor was trying to think, how can I ask this question that I so desperately want to know? How can I ask him that if given the choice, those 9 years ago, after suffering this whole time, in this locked-in state, would you have rather died at that time instead of living and suffering for 9 years? Well, he figured out how to ask the question. You know what his answer was? I would have rather lived. Would you want to live like that? For 9 long years? But you see, there was a reason. So he had a young teenage son. He was able to see him into his early 20s. His wife visited him every day. But that wasn't the reason. You know why he wanted to live? Because he himself felt those 9 years ago that he was not ready to take his place in that glorified state. He didn't feel that he was worthy of that resurrection yet. He felt that he needed to build more character, to prepare himself for this incredible honor that we will have as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. He wasn't ready. He still had work to do. Incredible story, isn't it? Incredible story. I'm sure this very moment, he's asleep in Christ, awaiting that trumpet to sound, to rise up to meet his Savior. You see, he wasn't ready yet. Amazing. I looked at that story. And it really, really touched me. Because here I am, perfectly healthy. Am I doing everything that I need to do to get myself ready for this incredible honor? You know, Anthony last night, when he was speaking, when he walked up, he looked out at the audience, he said, "You know, I'm looking at the kings and priests in the kingdom of God." And that's what I'm seeing here this morning. Kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Let's turn over to Psalm. Psalm 16. I think we'll see some words here. Told to us by King David. The final thoughts is Christ hanging there on the cross, perhaps right before he took his last breath. He says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol," or the grave, "nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." That brings us to our last characteristic. As glorified and immortal bodies, we will be able to experience truly for the first time pleasure and joy. You know, we think of the happiest times that we have now. Think of the most incredible, happiest, joyous time that you've ever had in your lifetime. It'll be nothing compared to what we will experience at that time. Because you see, being perfected, we will know what joy is. Praise God. Let's turn over and have one last scripture this morning. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3 as we conclude. Starting in verse 20. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." See, we're looking forward to something much, much greater than just what we have here. Our citizenship is not from the United States. Our citizenship is from heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. I hope that we can truly say on this day, that is my hope. That is my prayer. You know, I told you about Tracy Whalen this morning. I talked to him many, many times about the kingdom. And I just couldn't get through to him just how important this was. And now it's too late. We have that opportunity. Share that message with each and every one that you can. Or it's too late. Let them know the hope that you have. Let them know.